up? Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here for another Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is Wednesday, the 1st of December. We're starting the month off right with a Word of Mouth Wednesday that you need to hear if you are in Toronto supporting the local scene, the local Toronto situation. We have a new mayor in town, Rob Ford. Mayor Rob Ford's Toronto is set to begin as Rob Ford made his first press conference as mayor, outlined four priorities today. We're going to play a bit of that, and then the Rob Ford deception will be an ongoing investigation as we continue on our look at local politics. Also, the G20 Toronto is back in the headlines as the ISU has cleared Toronto police, but we're still wondering, will police be held accountable for their actions during the G20 Toronto? Joining us to talk about that tonight will be Amy Miller, a journalist who was at the G20, covering the G20, and who, we'll talk about her experiences and as well as her work in documentary and media. And then also, Robin Yeto has prepared a report here on the climate change conference in Cancun, Mexico. And we're going to be playing a bit of that as well later on. Some words with Greenpeace Canada representatives that are going to be at the climate change conference in Cancun. And all that and more coming up on the Word of Mouth Wednesday tonight. This is December the 1st, 2010. My name's Daniel Libby. Stay tuned. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're going to be right back. Word up. Word of Mouth.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're just going to play a quick clip here that I got here of the big press conference that took place today. This is the current mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford. Here is the outlines. If you want to know what the future for Toronto, what the future has in store, what the political politicians, what's going on at City Hall, well, look out for four priorities here outlined by Rob Ford in this clip. And we're going to be right back here. Here, Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is our December 1st show. And here, without any further ado, here is the press conference. Four priorities for City Hall 2010-2011. This is Mayor Rob Ford.
I want to outline my priorities for the next 4 years as we move forward. My government is going to focus and deliver these four key priorities. Our first priority is customer service excellence. We will work closely with the city manager and his staff to build a strong culture of customer service across every city department and agency. Customer service will be job one. Every phone call, every email will be responded to. All it takes is leadership. And ladies and gentlemen, leadership starts at the top. This process will be led by my executive committee through a special task force formed for this purpose. Our second priority is to make government transparent and accountable to every taxpayer in the city. This will include many of the features of my taxpayers' protection plan, and it will be led by the chair of the Government Management Committee. Our third priority is to reduce the size and cost of government. I met Monday with the city manager and chief financial officer. My transition team has been working very closely with them over the past month. I have given them a very clear direction. Toronto taxpayers expect the wasteful spending and the annual tax increases to come to an end. The Toronto taxpayers do not want a larger budget and more spending. There will be no tax increases next year. There'll be no major service cuts next year. We're going to keep the budget the exact same as this year. They want city managers to find ways to deliver city services more efficiently and effectively. That's what the taxpayers of this great city voted for. And that's what I'm going to deliver, ladies and gentlemen. I've been very clear in my direction, to staff and to the 2011 budget planning process must deliver these objectives. This is a very big job. Leading the charge will be the deputy mayor and city manager, working closely with the budget chief. Our fourth priority is to create a transportation city plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the war on the car stops today. We will move to eliminate the $60 car registration tax at the first council meeting of December to take effect on January 1st, 2011. For too long, the city has focused on transit only. We will expand our focus to include people who use transit, but also motorists, commercial vehicle operators, cyclists, and pedestrians. On the transit side, we will refocus our public transit plans on subways, not streetcars. And we will not build
word up, word of mouth Wednesday. So that was a bit of there of the mayor, Rob Ford, talking about the end of Transit City, the end of the war on the car, and more. And I apologize if you weren't able to hear that. We're having some technical difficulties here. I just got a call that we went off the air there. And I don't think the computer's actually working, even though it is now playing clips. It's only going through one channel. It seems like it's a mono situation, so it's not being broadcast. So we got trouble there on the technical front. But in terms of what's going on with the city, it's even more trouble. And, you know, maybe it's just fate that the computer wasn't able to work out, because I'm sure you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear more of what this guy has to say. The current mayor of Toronto, we can't let you know what his four priorities are because of the technical operations, as well as just the truth of what he's talking about has to do with a lot of cuts. And we're talking about he did mention that he's not going to do any cutbacks in services, but there is going to be major cutbacks in the budget. So we're wondering how that's going to be possible. Is Rob Ford going to be able to get the city, you know, the city in order behind him? Well, we don't know. So we're sitting here wondering what is up at City Hall. What we can do here on the show, now that we don't totally have access to the full range of MP3s that we were looking for to play. So I was going to throw it to a hot track from down under, 1-6, but I don't got it on a CD. I just had the MP3. So what I got on a CD, and what I'm going to play here is just something that we got, just a quick music clip here, is a track from guests we've had on in the past and is a musical artist with the group Test Their Logic, but this is a solo track by Illogic. This is Illogic's track, Do What You Love. Word up, word of mouth. Be right back.
Every day, I wake up and give thanks for this life. Life is but a dream, a spirit, a ghost inside the machine. Like a river, it flows gentle as a stream. The rapids come rapidly, we see the knowledge we find within its shore. Swim upstream if you choose to ignore the signs around you. It's time to explore the nature of being. Bust down the door, sing this song, yeah, write the score. Through the sunny days, even if it pours, break free, the heavens soar. Liberate your spirit, I implore. Concentrate and hear it, you can't ignore. Hesitate, we hear it, we all are born. Meditate, don't fear it, we all are on. The river of life, better love what you're doing. Do what you love and love what you do. And reflect the perfection that's inside of you, I said. Do what you love and love what you do. And reflect the perfection that's inside of you, yeah. Life, it's like a love affair. Into my lover's eyes, I stare deeply. Yeah, she can keep me on the plains of existence. You can meet me, I'm seeking truth. That's why I'm speaking ever so freely. Ready to greet the new day with a wink and a smile. Salute the sun. All the while, all I've done, I compile, let it float down the river. No denial. just dust in the wind. We all are born and all will face the end. But there's no reason to be sad to experience this moment. I'm so glad. Never let it drop, go to waste. Love every step, cause it isn't a race. Do what you love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I said, do what you love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta take that leap. The universe will catch you and keep you moving. The way you gotta be, what you gotta see, who you ought to be, cause we all got our destiny. This is just life testing me. We all got some stress, let's see. No money, no home, won't let it get to me. I do what I love and love what I do. It's true, I value all the special people that include you. If you do what you love, it's like a light from above. It's more than enough, don't need all the stuff they sell. It's like a cell, that's why I rebel. If you couldn't tell, let's break the spell and start anew. Do what you love and love what you do. You love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I say it. Do what you love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah. Do what you love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I say it. Do what you love and love what you do and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah.
Shout out to Illogic, Word Up, back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And just moving along here in the show, because I do have a few clips here on a CD here, just in case a situation like this would come up. This is actually a clip here that I think would be interesting to play because of what this clip signifies, and especially what today signifies. If today actually is the start of the Rob Ford era, the rise of the Ford Reich takes place today, well, we got to have one last memory of Mayor Miller. And actually, Mayor Miller, one of his last major ways that he got made some headlines was the G20 in the summer, because he was the mayor of the host city, Toronto. And actually, this clip that I'm going to play here is actually from the day of the G20 Toronto, the so-called riots, the G20 Toronto, possibly the major staged event of the year. We're talking about a Toronto G20 on a Saturday in June. Mayor Miller was interviewed by The Real News, actually. So this is an immediate reaction. What did the former, the former mayor of Toronto, what was his immediate reaction when Toronto when a major disaster took place, known as the G20 riots? Here is Mayor Miller on The Real News. Much respect to TheRealNews.com. Support TheRealNews.com.
Rights to safe abortions in the third world, for example. That was one of the images I saw on TV. Those messages aren't being heard because a group of people who call themselves anarchists, who are actually criminals, chose to commit some pre-planned violent acts.
Well, given what happened yesterday and given what happened today, because again, I'd say pre-planned means the police knew about it very well, and there didn't seem to be any extra measures being taken where the black block was. I'm not asking you to reach some conclusion here. What I'm asking you is, isn't there enough going on here? There should be some form of public inquiry into the violence over the weekend.
I think we're a long way from that. You know, you have police officers here from across Canada, from Edmonton, from Calgary, from the RCMP, from Montreal, I think from Ottawa, from Peel Region, our neighbors. They're doing everything they possibly can. And if you step back...
No, I'm not talking a public inquiry into whether the police are policing well enough or not. But given what happened yesterday, demonstrators were hit, and we don't know what started the confrontation, but we do have pictures of them being beat up.
Yeah, there's an allegation from yesterday, and that will be investigated like every allegation, and it's done impartially. That's our system in Canada, by people whose job it is to review complaints against
police. By the police department?
No, not by the police department. Yes, and that's impartial, and that's as it should be. That will be investigated. But to suggest there's some systemic issue, I really don't think it's factual. Our police service polices demonstrations almost every day.
But it's not only your police involved in what's happening here today.
Fair enough.
There was an incident in Quebec, right, where there actually eventually the QPP had to admit they had people inside the Black Bloc, and it was quite controversial.
Yep, that's true. I can't dispute the past. All I can talk about is what's happening in Toronto. And I've got confidence in the leadership of the Toronto Police Service because I have watched the way they police. Every police officer here outside the secure area is under their command. Inside it's the RCMP, but they're not policing the demonstrations.
Okay, one more
question.
This
is under Toronto's command.
What do you make of this legislation, that the Public Works Act, which is, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it. It actually, in some places, seems to go further than the War Measures Act, and apparently it comes from 1939, just before the start of the war. But it actually allows, if I understand it correctly, and I have it here, it gives a police officer or anyone the government deems to be a guard the authority to define what public property is. It can be any amount of space, and it can't be opposed in court. And someone can go to jail for 2 months.
So I've been briefed on it. I've read the legislation, but I've been briefed on it. My comment would be that the one thing I think should have been handled differently is these regulations, like any normal regulation, should have been posted for public comment. I think that's the way they should be handled, and then people can make all of the comments that they're making now ahead of time. That's the way regulations are supposed to be done in this city, in this country. That's what democracy is all about. They should be posted. People can comment on them and their appropriateness for or against.
Is it appropriate for the chief of the Toronto Police to ask the Ontario Cabinet to secretly do this without the mayor knowing about it?
Well, first of all, the chief did not ask the Ontario Cabinet to secretly do anything, and I think I know that's only a slight misstatement. The Ontario Cabinet chose to do this without publishing it ahead of time, and I think what should be challenged there is, in fact, the Ontario Cabinet, who should have made sure that it was done publicly. The Premier should have done that, and they should have made sure that, as they do with most regulations, there's some opportunity for people to comment before it's passed.
And
that's the flaw, and I really...
Okay, public or not, it's such, these measures are draconian when one reads it. Is it appropriate in this situation?
These measures already exist in this province. The only difference is they're being applied to the security fence, not just public buildings. They exist all across this province today. And you're right, this act has existed since 1939. In the modern day, would people support that legislation? I think you might be right, there'd be a lot of questioning. But these powers have existed for over 70 years, and they're applied to public buildings today. Rarely, but they are applied, and that's a law that's been around for a long time. The change was to apply it to the security perimeter as well, and I think if it had been handled in public, we'd be having a different debate.
Is it overkill?
I'll leave it in your judgment.
Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Word, much respect to The Real News, therealnews.com. The interview there conducted by Paul Jay, it was an interview of... posted on therealnews.com, I think that night, you know, it was posted, you know, within the day that it happened, I think, right after the G20 Toronto riots. That was fresh from the words from the former mayor of Toronto. We can now say the former mayor of Toronto, Mayor Miller, who was speaking, you know, I guess from his immediate reaction, and you heard it right there, right at the start of that clip. No public inquiry was, we were a long way from a public inquiry. It was totally against a public inquiry. And the inquiry, the inquiring minds, though, have not stopped trying to figure out what's going on. And that includes journalists and what is going on in, you know, mainstream newspapers now are even reporting that the ISU, no charges are going to be... Toronto Police or the ISU is not going to charge any officers, even though they will admit that that there was violence and physical harm that took place because of people getting arrested. Well, we're going to get more on this, more information on all this when we speak with Amy Miller in a bit. But I think first it'd be good to just play a music track here. And what do we got here? We got a funny situation here. Is a Freeman Dre track, and then we're gonna try to get Amy Miller on the phone. We're gonna be speaking about the independent community media. Support your local media. Support CKLN 88.1 FM. Thanks for everyone that donated at a Fun Fest last week, and much respect to the supporters of community radio. Word up. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
There's signs of desperation up and down the avenue. I see the politician waving for the camera, but he doesn't have a clue. It's a funny situation, only funny 'cause it's true. Then I heard the window breaking, and that policeman got confused. He pulled his weapon and started shooting rubber bullets at some tourists coming through. It's a funny situation, only funny 'cause it's true. Got the riot squad and they're coming through. If you stand in demonstration, they might be coming after you. It's a funny situation, only funny 'cause it's true. Yeah, it's a funny situation, only funny 'cause it's true. Yeah, it's a funny situation, G20 summit blues.
Protests in Toronto all the time. You know, we accommodate democratic dissent. It's part of the process. They're never violent, and there's no question at all. These aren't protesters. They're criminals. They're people who deliberately came here because the G20 is here, like they have in Seattle and other places, just to create some violent acts. That's not acceptable. That's not us. We're a place that loves people. We embrace people, and we don't want them here. And after the authorities arrest them and deal with them, we want them gone.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Just trying to get our guest here on the show. Just trying to get a guest here on the phone line. And we're just having some disconnection trouble every time I try to get it going. We get a disconnection. So what I was going to do is just maybe just play another music track here. And then we're going to be trying to get our guest on the phone.
Yo,
here's the G20 anthem, Peter Bones, and we'll be right back.
Life is a struggle, you know. Without justice, there's no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
Oh man, not me, man.
I'm a tell you the truth, and nothing but the truth. Me, I'm so peaceful, never burn no police crews. I see my face on television like an ex-G20 suspect. Like I'm 900 plus people long, when you need to get arrested. I'm so stressed like Toronto's most wanted. Miss Musty gets a little excited. I must have been drunk, maybe a little blunted. I swear I've never done it. 10,000 people on the streets demonstrating at the summit. Some people said, get with me running from the police. That was the worst weekend on the streets of Toronto. The government must spend like a billion on this boat. No justice and no peace. They got me on my knees, handcuffed and I bleed. Looking for me on television and my mama's stressing. I can't even believe this. I never burn a police car. I never burn a police car. I never burn a police car. I never burn a police car.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and just checking here because we're not sure about our phone line here. Amy Miller, are you on the line?
I am on the line.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and we can hear you. So looks like it's working here. I just wanted to introduce here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, Amy Miller, who is an independent media person. She's also the filmmaker behind the Miss for Profit documentary, and she's a member of the Free Press 4, and she was at the G20 Toronto covering that, and she works with the media co-ops all across Canada. So I just want to welcome Amy Miller. Hi, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, thanks for appearing here. And since we've been talking a lot about this G20 Toronto, and because we've been seeing these recent headlines in the paper about people that were at the G20 that were physically that had physical violence take place, you know, while they're being detained or arrested or dealing with security forces, and that those people, you know, the ISU has ruled that there no individuals will be charged or anything. Does this surprise you at all? This point that we're at the G20. What are your thoughts here on what's going on?
Well, I mean, I think it's really important that people keep up the pressure and that we don't take the recent decisions as the final act, and that, you know, I think there's still a lot of potential to come out of there. I do think that we can see some people get prosecuted. I do think we can have accountability for the police, and I think we can really have people start to challenge what exactly happened and allowed for $1 billion to be spent on security. And I do think people are starting to ask the fundamental questions of security for who and whose interests. And I think we have to see some positive aspects of all the brutality and violence that people endured, because we are starting to see people come forward. Today it was in Ontario that sex worker organizations were coming forward asking for a public inquiry regarding systematic violence perpetrated towards sex workers, and I do think there are links. I think we're seeing more and more people publicly question the powers of the state, the powers of the police, and what the public has taken for granted as a status quo or as acceptable behavior. And I think we're starting to see a lot of people start to say, wait a minute, is fascism creeping and crawling within Canada? And is this the country that we want to be in? How it's operating right now. And so despite all of the difficult setbacks where it seems to be ongoing cover-ups and a lack of any sort of total impunity and any lack of accountability on behalf of the various police forces involved, I do think there are still positive aspects, and I do think there are possibilities for accountability to be had.
Right, right, nice. And the situation that you're involved with, like I know that we're hoping for accountability, we're hoping, you know, for justice, real justice, but there is a situation that you're personally involved with at the Free Press 4. Could you talk about what the Free Press 4 is, what's going on with your situation?
Sure. So the Free Press 4 is a group of individuals who work as journalists and who had been working as journalists during the G20, who encountered violence and who were either detained or suffered violence on behalf of the police. and the state, and who have come together to press for justice and accountability in their behavior. Myself, I was arrested on Sunday, the June 26th, I do believe, around noon, when I was on my way to the Solidarity action that was in the impromptu jail, the film center that was being used as a detention center. And when I was biking along on Bloor Street, I had stopped with three other colleagues, and we stopped and we started filming the police because there had been about half a dozen police, and then up to a dozen more showed up, and they were...
Whoa, it looks like we might have lost our caller there. Our interview guest there, Amy Miller. This the phone just cut out. I'm not sure if there is any conspiracy related to this, because I had just been trying to get her on the phone right before the interview, and every time I put her on hold, it would cut out. And then I just put her on air, and then it went on, but now it's just totally cut out. So maybe we'll try to give Amy Miller a call back, and maybe we'll just play a bit more of that Peter Bones track, and then we're going to be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and Word Up, hold on.
Nothing but the truth, me, I'm so peaceful, never burn, no police crews. I see my face on television like an XG20 suspect, like I'm 900 plus people long, when you need to get arrested. I'm so stressed, like Toronto's most wanted. This must get a little excited. I must have grabbed junk, maybe a little blunted. I told her I never done it. Over 10,000 people on the streets demonstrating at the summit. Some people said, get with me running from the police. That was the worst weekend on the streets, such a lot. So the government must spend like a billion on this boat. No justice and no peace. They got me on my knees, handcuffed and I bleed. Looking for me on television and my mama's stressing. I can't even believe this. I never burn a police car. 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 Yo, the G20 story. They shoot rubber bullets. Police tell them to pull it. I didn't do nothing. What should they have to worry? Not guilty. I'ma tell it until they come and get me. Black man on the black block. With a black back and a black backpack with a black bandana. Don't move me down the ramp, but I'll ask for Reddy Marshall. I'm caught up in some mix-up. People yell at six-up.
It appears Toronto police aren't really protecting their vehicles that closely. What is going on here?
Well, I don't know if it's protecting the vehicles or not. I think it's the security of the people around the area. We have to make sure that when one of our vehicles, like we're seeing right now, are put up flames, that we have to make sure that the security of the people around those vehicles.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was Peter Bones there talking about the G20, his situation of the G20 being falsely identified and searched for, accused of burning a police car that he never burnt. That's why he wrote that track. And another person or people that were accused were at least four journalists were accused of, you know, stuff they didn't do, or, you know, involved with security, stuff they didn't do. And Amy Miller was actually going through that whole story when the phone cut out. So I think we got Amy Miller back on the line. Hi, Amy, are you there?
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, oh, great. You're still on, and we got you. We can hear you on the line. And I thought you were still on, but then the light just went out right when I said that, that she's still on. So there's something going on here with the phone that I am really not sure what is going on. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to play a I'll play something here, and then we'll be back. You know what I think I'll do? I'm going to play the full second part of the manifesto speech by Ernie Pinacoli. And if you remember, it was about a month ago that we played the part one of Randy Panicoli's speech. And this speech occurred during the Manifesto Festival, which is in the second last weekend of September. And it is the last year was the four. It was the fourth year anniversary of Manifesto, and the So Much Things to Say speaker series took place right here on Ryerson campus. We are 88.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station of Ryerson University. And Ryerson University, the RSU, hosted the Manifesto speaker series. Ernie Panicoli was one of the speakers, and he is a legendary photographer known in the hip-hop world. Here is a bit about Ernie Panicoli is that he's from New York, and he started off by shooting graffiti on the New York subways in the mid-70s. And his own photography book is called Who Shot Ya, which was released in 2002. He represented hip-hop in an address to the United Nations. Photographer Ernie Panicoli has documented hip-hop for over three decades. So without further ado, here is the second half of the Manifesto speech of Ernie Panicoli. And sorry about the situation with the phone and our guest, Amy Miller. I'm going to call her back once we get this this phone on and apologize to her, but I'm not sure what's going on with the phones here at CKLN, but this is the wake-up call from Ernie Panicoli. Wake up to the hip-hop community, wake up to the New World Order, wake up to the future. 2010, word up. Here is Ernie Panicoli.
In the Bible it says, what profit a man if you gain the world and lose your soul? Is that correct? Is that a correct quotation? Now, why would the Bible be talking about soul? That's a James Brown type thing. But think about it. Why? What does it profit a man if you gain the world and lose your soul? Hip-hop now is the only universal language that can go entirely around the planet. I could go to Brazil, Guatemala, Sweden. Where's this brother from? Buddha. By the Northern Lights. And people recognize hip-hop. But you've lost your soul. Because at the bottom line, we've got illegal wars going on in the world. We are not feeding people with hip-hop. We're not putting clothes on those that are naked. We are not uniting as a political force. Hip-hop has lost its moral compass, and hip-hop has lost its validity. Going back into the 70s and the 60s, it was the hippies, the yippies, all them cats smoking weed, and all those people that were, you know, bowing to the god of rock and roll that stopped the Vietnam War. I haven't even seen a rally around hip-hop on stopping war. And in case you guys think that war is something abstract, let me tell you some numbers. In the United States of America, they are spending, now, I don't know too much about money. Anything more than a million of anything. I don't even know what a million of, none of you have ever seen a million of anything. In the United States, they're spending $10.5 billion a month to perpetrate an illegal racist war against Islam. And I don't care how you slice it, dice it, cook it, or fry it, it's an illegal war, and it's against Islam, and it's in Islamic countries, and it's going against them. I don't believe in Osama bin Laden either, because he's a creation of the CIA and Al-Qaeda. So, you know, don't say, oh, he's siding with the terrorists. I just got a very keen memory, and I studied history, and I know that Chief Joseph, Chief Sitting Bull, and all the other great chiefs were castigated and vilified and made to look like demons. And all the same stuff they're saying against Islam, they said against the native people, the indigenous people, and took their land, took their culture, tried to take their God. And then they turn around, and they're trying to do the same thing to you now with Islam. And if Islam was only a year or two or 5 or 10 years old, I would say, okay. But you got to watch real careful on how they're trying to program you to hate a certain amount of people because they wear their thing or their women behave a certain way. And, you know, last night I was down on the block and girls were passing by me and I was seeing, you know, I could see their birthmarks on their behinds, you know. So they're trying to portray Islam as somehow insane because the women got everything covered up and you got to be married to her to see her birthmarks, you know. There's a little bit of craziness there. So you really need to be careful of that. $10.5 billion a month. At the same time they're spending $10.5 billion a month on two illegal wars, in my home state of New Jersey, they laid off 22,000 teachers. They're laying off firemen. They're laying off police. They're laying off emergency services people. How in God's name can you have $10.5 billion a month and yet you don't have enough money to keep a daycare center open? Let me tell you something really filthy. In Jersey City, where I live, they had a bunch of ex-convicts. I think it's about 25 ex-convicts that couldn't get jobs. So they gave them a job paying minimum wage, cleaning the streets of Jersey City. And those guys have been there for 4.5 years. And the streets in Jersey City, in the business area, are so clean, you know, it's ridiculous. Just last, the day I was coming up here, I picked up a newspaper and found out they had to end that program because they didn't have money. So what do these 25 ex-convicts do that can't find jobs? Do the math. So I ask you, what is hip-hop doing? What has hip-hop done? What can hip-hop be proud of other than some award shows, you know? And another thing, talking about common sense deficiency syndrome, I'm going to ask the women here, how many of you are attracted physically to a man who's walking around with his butt cheeks out? Is anyone turned on? Come on. No, none of you women are turned on by that? Where I live, you know, they have their pants down to here, and they got their butt cheeks out, and I'm like, that means that those people are beyond redemption. When you show me, no, serious, that's the most serious thing that I'm saying today about that young boy with his butt cheeks out. Think about me now for a second, what I'm going to tell you. This is mathematics. If I want to control young people, I test and I go deeper and deeper and deeper. And at the point that I can get you to walk around, not you, your brother, walk around with his buttocks showing, his butt crease sticking out, his entire buttocks sticking out, then that means that I have won. And when I can get thousands and tens of thousands of young black men to show me their behinds, that means I have won. And that means that CSDS is a disease that is virtually beyond our scientific and medical thing. And that's just one facet of CSDS. And I could give you many, many more. Every time I see a boy with his butt sticking out, I understand there's no man in that family to give him guidance. And that the women that raised me are no longer here that would go upside his head and say, "Boy, pull up your pants. I'm going to put my foot in your behind," or worse. That's CSDS, common sense deficiency syndrome, brought on by a love for hip-hop. Yo, I love hip-hop, so I'm going to show you my butt. Whoa. I'm trying to understand mathematics, and I'm trying to understand God, and I'm trying to understand young people, and I'm trying to understand this phenomenon that has taken a young black man who has a history that's so rich on this planet that it's unique, that wants me to look at his butt and give you the genesis of where that came from very quickly. It came from prison. When you walk around with your butt out, it means I'm available. Come get this booty. That's what it means. And the reason they don't have shoelaces is because they were using the shoelaces to hang themselves. And the reason they cuff up one leg is a gang symbol. And that's another thing that I don't have time to get into, is the proliferation of gangs both in Canada and all throughout South America, through Mexico and through the United States. And hip-hop is not addressing that, but 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was with the Nation of Islam, Khalid Muhammad, and other brothers working to help bring together these brothers, the Bloods and Crips, and tell them, you and you are brothers and sisters. You got to love each other because you have a common history. You have a common enemy. And you have a common escape from this madness if you so choose. And nobody's doing that. And when a man stands up and tells them that and can prove it and is willing to risk his life to go into those gang areas, then you're going to see change. But as long as we're suffering from CSDS and we're worried about the brand new sneakers and the brand new t-shirt and the brand new let me see your booty, and you women are allowing them to do it, because as Brother Buddha said in the 70s, if you didn't dance, you was going to get no girls. So damn it, you had to see all them cats that were standing in the corner looking hard. They started spinning on their heads because they did not want to be the only cat out there without a girlfriend and sleeping by themselves. I'm going to be real. And that's where hip-hop has been co-opted. our young people's minds have been colonized. How many of you know what the word colonized means? That's where they go in there, take your land, take your culture, take your religion, take your God, and kick you in the ass and tell you to bow. And then you go through to Jamaica and you see you go in a black woman's home and she got a big picture of Queen Elizabeth on the wall and the Pope. That's mental colonization. And that's CSDS on a different level. That's colonization. I'm telling you right now, hip-hop has been colonized, and it went from a voice of the voiceless to a voice and a tool of the oppressor. And unless you take hip-hop back, and unless you use that power the same way that these corporations and these devils are using that power to take your children, you don't want to know what's going to happen a decade from now. The reason Katrina happened and you had black people swimming in the ocean like dogs and sitting on the side of the road baking dead for 3 days, and FEMA was allowed to get away with it because for 10 years prior, you had all them southern rappers. Yeah. For 10 years, they had that. Lil Wayne, the Hot Boys, and back and forth, and E. Diddle and E. Piddle, or, you know, every week they had another Negro. Okay? So when you know, the women with everything sticking out and the guy, you know, 10 years. Katrina came, so everybody said very simply, how come they're not even human? Look at the videos, who cares? Hip-hop has been co-opted and it is costing us lives. And I didn't even touch on the military-industrial complex, where the prisons are full of kids who are watching videos and seeing Drake or Fake or Bake or whoever, Shake and Bake or whoever, whichever the jive-ass rapper the moment is, sitting in a car with 10 girls, all of them looking good. He's draped down in gold and chains. And he's just dripping. He got the Yankee hat or whatever, the L.A. hat. You know, he got the baseball cap. He got his pants sagging. He's official. And here's a kid. He's struggling to get a job at McDonald's. He don't have $3 in his pocket, but he's watching that. And he said, damn, that kid looks just like me. I want to be like that. So he goes out and he realizes there's no way you can be like that. Because even those kids at the end of the day, at the end of the video, they come with a bag and they take back all that rented jewelry. They take back the MTV crib, which is rented. They take back everything, including the hoochies, which are ready for the next video. Okay, all them pole climbers. I began this by saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I also began by saying that Mos Def said, hip-hop will simply amaze you, do whatever you say do, but black, it can't save you. You need to think, and you need to put that media in check. And every time you see a negative image of somebody, you need to address it. Send 500 letters to that TV station. Send 1,000 letters to that newspaper. And tell the kids around you, talk to them. They're not strangers, they're not Martians, they're not from another universe. Talk to them. Teach them a little bit about history. And teach them about survival skills. And I don't want to scare any of you because I made a prediction in May of 2001, right before September 11th, at the United Nations. And if you can, get online, see if you can find it. But I said about what was coming. Now, I don't even want to tell you what's coming here. But when we lose our youth and we have our people divided against the elders and no longer listening to them because they ain't hip, because they ain't got Blackberries and they ain't got internet and they ain't got Twitter and Ditter and Clitter and all that other stuff, clutter, they don't have that, so they ain't cool, so you put them on the side. And the kids definitely don't want to hear what you got to say because if you're over 20, you're old. So we created and fed into the worst crime of all, which is divide and conquer. You have to wake up. You have to understand the conditions. You have to unify and address the conditions, and you can change the conditions. But if you continue to labor under delusions and you continue to allow other people to think for you, and if you continue to allow the disease of CSDS, common sense deficiency syndrome, to eat at you, and you see these boys with their, you know, and you don't address it, or you see the girls with everything sticking out except, you know, their birth certificate. And you don't address it. These are your daughters. These are your sisters. These are your future mothers. These are your aunts. And these are the women that have continually throughout the generations have saved mankind. And unless we start bringing the men to be men, the women to be women, and start reuniting the generations and start using hip-hop as a tool of liberation instead of a rule of oppression and brainwashing. And unless you take all this insanity and acknowledge it, address it, and change it, just think about, this is 2010. I don't want to tell you, they already have concentration camps throughout the United States. So by 2010, thank you.
Manifesto. Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was the speech there from the Manifesto 2010, the fourth annual Manifesto, the Manifesto Festival of Music and Culture, Community and Culture. And the event that you just heard, that recording, took place at Ryerson, actually, in the library building in the end of September 2010. A couple months ago, we played the first part of Ernie Panicoli's speech a few episodes ago, and then so that was just the second half there, to complete the full speech, because it's a very powerful speech. And if you want to watch the whole thing, you can just go to themanifesto.ca for the video, themanifesto.ca, and then click on the video section. And Ernie Panicoli was one of the many speakers there, and so much respect to the RSU, the Manifesto, and the people that helped put that together. And again, just in case you're looking for the info on Ernie Panicoli, if you want to search him, if you want to find the correct spelling for his name, it's Ernie, E-R-N-I-E, and then Panicoli is spelled P-A-N-I-C-C-I-O-L-I. And that's Ernie Panicoli, a photographer from New York, speaking on hip-hop culture and, you know, all that and more. But what we got to talk about as well is the community radio and a major announcement, the big event that's going to be taking place next week. And it's actually it's a major event that's going to be taking place. And I'm talking about a hearing. This is a hearing that's going to involve the CRTC. And it's a hearing on a number of matters relating to the programming and operations of the community-based campus radio licensee CKLN FM, CKLN Radio Incorporated, and the commission will resume the hearing next Wednesday, December the 8th, 2010 at 9 a.m. at the Doubletree by the Hilton, Toronto Airport, 6655 Dixon Road, Toronto. You can get the information online, crtc.gc.ca. I was actually checking the site yesterday. I did notice that they do also have streaming hearings, so I'm not sure if they're going to be streaming it live next Wednesday in case you can't make it up to the airport, but if they are, just tune in next Wednesday, 9 a.m., crtc.gc.ca. And the info, again, on the CKLN hearing is going to be at next Wednesday, December the 8th, 2010, 9 a.m. at the Doubletree by Hilton, which is near the Toronto Airport, 655 Dixon Road, and that's in Toronto. And also, I wanted to make another on-air apology for what we had to deal with technically here, how we couldn't complete the interview with Amy Miller, and I called her back. I apologize, and she's looking forward to getting back on the show in a future episode, maybe next week, maybe the week after. We're going to hopefully get these phones back up and running. And the G20, of course, is still going on, and I think it's the ombudsman inquiry that's about a week away from being released. So, you know, we're going to have, within the next few days, we're going to have even more information on once these reviews and inquiries and everything gets going on. Well, since we are CKLN and since this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday, I just wanted to end it off on a truthful note here, or what the truth seekers are thinking of as well about the G20. And here's a classic quote here from Toronto Truth Seeker Mike Hofstra, who's actually a Mississauga Truth Seeker, but he's one of the best going in Toronto. 905-416-647. This is it. Toronto G20. And we'll
seeing all the chaos and the Black Bloc doing whatever they could do. They got the green light to do whatever they wanted, you know. And the burning cars, burning police cars, to me, that was a staged event. All staged event. Probably torched by the police anyway. And to me, it looked kind of Hollywood, really. Because I saw CNN here, the CNN truck parked on the side street. And I'm looking, I said, oh, here we go. Here goes all the propaganda and the misinformation and stuff like that. So I saw them, and so the police cars were basically a good photo op for all these big media corporations and that, eh? So that was all staged. So the G20 was all staged, you could tell.
Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was Mike there, the Toronto Tree Seekers, torontotreeseekers.com. G20 is a staged event. G20 staged riots is one of the movements going on, many movements. There's many people that are still wondering what's going on with the G20, and I just wanted to make sure we thanked Robin Nieto again. We didn't get the chance to play the climate change conference in Cancun clip because of the computer difficulties, but, you know, there is that. That's going on, and it's going to be going on till next week, so hopefully Robin will have a report back once he gets back from the events going on in these major conferences, and then also the first day of Mayor Rob Ford. Rob Ford is going to be the mayor for 4 years, it looks like. Good luck to Rob Ford, and we'll see how the changes take place in Toronto. If today is any omen, the word is not getting out. But hopefully it's not, and hopefully, everything gets back into working. As well, I want to thank our, we played some music there, track by Illogic, track by Peter Bones, track by Freeman Dre. Actually, the track by Freeman Dre was actually recommended by a CKLN programmer who told me about it, and he is actually up next because the Blues Dr. Julie Hill is not in the building again. She's still on a vacation, and, she'll hopefully be back next week, and but until then, we've got the last. So this could be the last week of your guest host for a while. This is a guest host that is Paul Corby, who's in the studio. So stay tuned for the Blue Remedy. It's going to be coming up next, and this has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday for the first of December, first of the month, and it's the last month of the year. So only about not that much left. So, anyways, my name's Daniel Luby, and this has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Much respect. Check out the CRTC hearing next Wednesday, and support CKLN Radio, and keep it going. Word up. Word up.